come before you this morning, Lord. We just want to rejoice with those who are rejoicing and weep with those who are weeping, Lord God. We just have some prayer requests this morning, Lord. We lift up Shirley and Lord, that she would recover, Lord God, that her ankle would just heal. And we would lift up that family to you, Lord God. She's heavy on our hearts. Lord, we lift up Billy to you as well, Lord. He has some immediate needs, Lord God. So we just pray that you would just be with him, Lord God, just over any anxieties, Lord, or fears. Lord God, we just pray for a healing on his body, Lord God, and that the things that he needs provided will be provided to him, Lord. Father, we just lift up Heather, too, Lord God. I just remembering her with her testimony that she gave a few months ago, Lord, just on even on her health, Lord God. We pray that you would just continue to give her and Mary just encouragement, Lord God, and that you just continue to make their faith strong, Lord. We just pray for even that medication, Lord, that it would keep doing its job, Lord, but even more that you would just touch her with your hand, Lord, just heal her body. Lord God, we just pray for them as well as they're going to be traveling over the summer and being in Tennessee. We just pray for protection on that family, Lord God. We pray for Daryl and Betty. Lord, we know Daryl was in a car accident yesterday, so we just thank you for keeping him safe, Lord, but I just pray that you would just heal any kind of soreness, Lord, or injuries that he sustained. We just pray that you would be with him this morning, Lord God. And Lord, we just thank you for who you are in our lives, Lord, that each one of us has a testimony to give, Lord. And we just pray that they just keep encouraging us, Lord, that we would just keep laying down all of our burdens and our anxieties, Lord. I just know I have many this last week and going into this week, Lord, I just have a whole lot of anxieties, and they could be such a distraction in the kingdom, Lord, Lord God. And so I just pray that you would help me and help those that are dealing with the same issues, Lord. We just lift you up this morning. Help us just to lay all the burdens down, that we just praise your name, Lord God. We love you, Father.
Creation's weeping. putting all the stars in place, making this earth, separating the earth from the water, creating the animals, creating humankind. Father, help us not to put our trust in anything else, Lord. Father, we praise you, Lord. Lord, you know my heart, and you still love me, Father. I praise you for that, Lord, because sometimes I feel completely unlovable, Father. But you still love me, and you guide me in how to change my actions, Lord God, how to control my thoughts, Father. You want me to be an overcomer. You don't want me to be condemned, Father. Father, those here today, Lord, that feel condemnation, Lord, I pray, Father, that you help get them out of that, Father. Help them to have sometimes it even feels good to be stuck in that. I know that sounds kind of like an oxymoron, but sometimes we allow ourselves to be defeated. But we have to remember that there's a God out there, and he can pull us out. We just have to reach out our hand and grab his. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that we have the heart of an overcomer, someone that wants to overcome. And then we ask you to give us the strength to do it. And then we can have victory and then be an example for others, Father.
Thank you.
Father, as we're singing this song, I love that part, how it says, you know, my faith will be my eyes, Lord. Help that to be true with us right now, Father, because we're not promised that we're going to see everything unfold, Lord God. But, Father, help our faith to even just take over our sight, Lord God. Help us to not be doubting, Lord God, the doubting Thomas, Lord. But, Father, help us to have that strength, Lord God, and be led by your peace and your Holy Spirit, Father, that even though we don't understand, we can have that peace that passes understanding, Father, and we can submit to that, and we can find freedom in that, Lord. Help our logic just to, not completely, but, Father, when it comes to picking a faith over logic, Lord God, help us pick your Holy Spirit. Help us pick that faith, Lord. times of that, the Lord is always with us. You know, and when we're going through those bad times, you know, I've been praying a lot for several different people this weekend, but what my prayer is most of the time that, Lord, while we're walking through this, Father, help them to get deeper in you, Father. Help this to be a learning experience, Father. And help them just to get built up in your confidence, Lord, so we can just encourage others, Lord. You know, sometimes hard times are allowed. And that's not because we're being punished or the Lord's angry with us. It's because, you know, when we're going through those times, we can grow so much deeper in Him and have a deeper faith. And it is a learning experience. Father, as we were driving in the car this morning, I had an attitude about something. And I was kind of laughing to myself. And I was just thinking, you know what? I'm glad I'm not God. Because I would be so moody. I wouldn't have patience. I wouldn't have forgiveness. I would fly off the handle. Father, you're unchangeable and you're unshakable and unstoppable. And Lord, it just makes me just know I am so thankful that you are our Father and that you care about us and you love us and you have unconditional love for us. When we act like little children, when we have tantrums, when we are completely unfaithful to you, Father, you say, I'm here for you. I need you to come back to me. All I have are good things for you. Rest in my peace. Father, help us to want all of these things, Lord. Help us to not want to return to the bad things, Lord. Or as even as the Bible puts it, not a great picture here, but even as a dog returning to its vomit, Lord. I pray, Father, that's not me. I don't want to be that way. Speak to our hearts. To you right now. I guess he's just completely brokenhearted. I don't know any details, Father, except that she's passed. So right now, Father, I just lift up Angel's dad, Lord, and I pray, Father, that right now that your spirit just comforts him, Lord, and I pray that he just keeps his eyes on you, Father, and I pray that there won't be any confusion or craziness, Lord, but that you'll have peace with everything that needs to follow today, Lord God. Just be with Angel, too, Father. Anyone right now that has a prayer request or just feels like just coming out and praying during this worship time, I just encourage you guys to do that right now. If the Lord's putting something on your heart, or if you're having a hard time, this is the family to do it in. This is the setting. Father, we just ask your Holy Spirit to be here.
Lord, we
want to
lift up hardship.
Yes.
Speak rest to me today. Pray for your comfort upon her today, on the family, Lord. She just lost her mother a few days ago, Lord. Just pray that you'll comfort her.
Yes.
Let her be there. Let your peace be upon them, Lord.
Yes.
Guide them and give them wisdom, Father, as they go through the procedures now. her funeral and all the arrangements for it. So we just pray for her today.
Lord, we lift up Shirley to you, Lord, and Lord, we just pray for healing. We ask you, Lord, just to touch her mind and her heart, Lord, as she heals and as she deals with the pain, Lord. I just pray that you would just cover her, Lord, and hold her and just encourage her, Lord Jesus. And I pray for the healing and the swelling to go away, Lord. I just pray that ankle to be restored, Lord. And just her heart, her mind, Lord, protect it. Cover her, Lord, as she's going through this time. Thank you for her.
Lord, I also just want to lift up Billy to you, Lord. Lord, I just pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would just help him to be able to get that new heart, Lord God, that heart transplant, Lord, that you would work out all the details for him, Lord God, that need to happen, Lord, all the stuff that needs to happen before that. But I pray in Jesus' name that you would allow that heart to be available for that heart transplant, Lord, and that you would get him just the right one, Lord. So, just lift him up too, Lord, as he's going through this and his kids, Lord God, that you would just be with them, that you bring them closer together as a family and closer together in you, more importantly, Lord God. In Jesus' name, provide that heart for him, provide that transplant.
Lord, I feel like we need to lift up our youth.
Thank you.
Lord God, I feel like this moment in time is pivotal. Lord, and I ask in Jesus' name that you would just move in the youth, Father.
Yes.
God, starting at 8 years old and
yes,
all the way through the teen years.
Yes. Yes.
I pray, Lord, right now, I know many of them are at different conferences and different growing and trainings, and Lord God, I just ask that their spirit would be open, their heart would be open, their minds would be open, God, to receive from you. Pray that you would just touch them in a really special way, Lord God. Pray, Father, that you would turn their hearts to you and turn their hearts to their parents.
Yes.
And that you would turn their father's hearts to their children, Lord God. In Jesus' name, I just pray for a revival in our youth, Father God. And a child shall lead them, Lord, so that those children can lead their parents, Father God, back to you. Those parents would be touched and their hearts would be turned and their hearts would be open, Father God, to you, Lord God, and that you would just be God and be magnificent and be mighty and be powerful,
yes,
Lord God. And if you have to do it through the youth, Father God, just have mercy upon them, Lord, and do your thing, Father,
yes,
God. We just look for the miracle. We,
yes,
look for your power, your hand, Father God, in this. In this generation, Lord God. This is our future generation, Heavenly Father. So we need your help and we need your wisdom. And we're asking humbly for your knowledge and your power as we train them and as we lead them and guide them, Lord God. And yet, in many ways, they're guiding us because they've got less stuff and less sin, Lord God. So just be awesome. Just be powerful.
Father, right now, Lord, I just want to lift up little Jasper to you, Lord. I know he's been dealing with this little rash or something for a little while, Father. I just pray, Lord, that you just give Amanda and Josh wisdom for him, what to do, and We just pray that you just heal his little body and that will go away and he'll be comforted. And also we lift up Justine Stillman's little girl. I guess she's been having a little tummy flu. So, Father, we just pray that her stomach is just gets healed quickly, Lord, and that it stops right there and it doesn't go through the whole house.
Lord, I just want to lift up our church, our family. Lord, may we grow strong and closer and closer to one another. I just pray that you bless everyone through Todd, through children. And I just thank you for them, Lord. Just help us to just continue to love one another, share with one another, come to Bible study, Lord, and just be a part of it all, God.
Lord, I just want to lift up my father in Wyoming, Lord God. Just a lot of pain and just a lot of sadness, Lord God. And his lungs are just starting to fail him, Lord. And he's just constantly requiring oxygen, Lord God. So it just breaks my heart to see him like that, Lord. And just I just pray that his relationship would just grow deeper and deeper with you, Lord God. I pray that you would just bring people into his life, Lord, that just can point him to you. I just pray that you would use my family too, Lord. Just testimony of your changeable. Our unshakable, Lord. Lift him up to you right now.
Unshakable, the word that was coming to my heart and mind was believe. Believe that he is unchangeable. He's unshakable. Receive it. That your God does not change like 50,000. And he's unstoppable. And then a kind of a weird word popped in my head. Believe, receive, and then conceive. And I thought, what? It was kind of a little bit of a shocker. But then when I started thinking about it, I mean, that's what happens when you believe that he is unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable, and you receive it in your heart, then that gives birth, you know, that conceives and gives birth to faith and trust and hope and encouragement in Jesus' name. When you believe and receive that, that's who he says he is, regardless of the situation, the circumstances you're in. That is your God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I was going to say you may be seated, but I guess you're already there. So, okay, well, we've got a couple things to go over this morning. Very glad that you're all here. And most of my... Hey, honey, can you move close to the light? I just noticed... I know we're missing... I'm missing all... Wait, Chris, Elijah, Hezekiah, Joe, all the folks that are almost there. Yes, thanks. which is Baby Ellen. A couple things while we're getting stuff set up here. We do have tons of loaves of bread from Panera, so make sure you grab one on your way out. Again, somebody was asking me about this. They said that the Case for Christ is no longer playing at the Dollar Theater because they went to go see it. Well, we are getting a license to be able to show it here in July on a Thursday Eve, so you'll be able to invite your friends, even unbelievers, to come out and watch this movie before it's even released on DVD. And so we want to encourage you, invite you out for that. We'll let you know the exact date soon. Did you want me to talk about this next week?
No, we should talk about it next week.
Okay. So we're having a little picnic, a little cookout afterwards when Paul and Marcia Cowley come. And Gary, is there something that you want?
Before, like, this 2 weeks from today, the church, we're going to do hamburgers. We're going to do hamburgers, hot dogs, and brats. The church will take care of that. We're asking you to provide sides. Third thing is the church will do drinks, and the fourth, you want to bring some sunscreen.
And you know what, guys? And here's the thing. I'm actually going to be gone. Somebody gives us a free place to stay every year for the kids. Isn't that fantastic? So we schedule it like a year in advance. It's whenever they have the time, you know, whenever it's available during this time. So we just realized we're going to be gone on the day that he's here. So you guys will have to minister. Please stay. Please encourage. Please talk to him. Just make him feel very welcome when he comes in a couple weeks. I'll skip that for this time this week. Next month, we are having a baptism. And so some folks, somebody wanted to get baptized, asked multiple times. So we're going to be doing that next month. If you have never gotten baptized, maybe you just had water sprinkled on your head. And baptism means just immersion. And it's identifying with Christ and his death as you're going under that water, leaving all that sin there, and then coming up. You're identifying with Christ, raising from the dead. You want everybody to know that you are a believer and that you're standing with Christ. If you have never done that as a believer, a born-again believer, maybe you've made that confession of faith in your heart, but you've never got baptized, baptism is that next step. He says, repent and be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus Christ. We also give a time for anybody else to join. We have hot dogs and hamburgers, just whatever's a little lunch over there, and we give you guys an opportunity to give a word. Maybe the Lord might put a word of a prophetic word on your tongue or in your heart to speak over them or something to pray over them. We give everybody opportunity for the Lord to move in the body over those people, whoever gets baptized. But if you would like to get baptized and you haven't, please come see me. We'd love for you to join us. You guys know all about this. We'll skip this week. And don't forget prayer. I'll tell you, I am loving this more and more. My goal is to get here by 9:30 for prayer time. It's just, I'm getting charged up for it. And I think, like, there's no way to do it because I got so much prep. But I love it. Like, when I'm here, it's so awesome. Every time I come, I'm all that much more jazzed and charged up. So I want to, if it's possible, come here and join us for prayer. This Tuesday is the Believe Women's Bible Study. 6:30 fellowship, 7 p.m. Bible study. The girls, the teens, are also invited. Lisa, do you have anything you want to say other than what you already said before?
No, if you haven't come out before, you're still welcome to come on out.
Okay.
We're going to be watching the third video in the series, and I think every time you can get something out of it. So you're more than welcome to do that. If you need a book, come see me. I do have one more thing to say.
Okay.
We're going to have a five-day club again. This is for the kiddos.
Okay.
Last summer, the CEF came in. That's where some of our youth is this week, is to be trained to run these missionary camps at different churches. And we have one scheduled for here. I don't have a slide for it, but July 17th through July 21st. I'll have a sign-up sheet next weekend. But just, that's a time where you can invite kiddos from your neighborhood. You know, we had grandmothers bringing, you know, some of their, you know, grandkids. And I had, you know, we had some people bringing their neighbors and friends' kids. It's a great time to bring them to a little tiny, like, summer camp. And they do games with them, but they really tell them they really teach them the word and about salvation. And it's a really great time. If anybody wants to be involved in helping out with that, even some of the youth that didn't go on the training, come see me again. Youth or adults. We'd love to have some help.
The Transformers. So, Neely's not here because she's up to. Anyway, the Transformers, We're meeting this Wednesday, so call Josh and Amanda for more details. We meet every other Wednesday now, so it was kind of hard. First, third Wednesdays, so we're just meeting every other Wednesday. So contact them. Thursday night barbecue and Bible study, that's always one of my favorite times. It's a lot of fun. I want to encourage you to come out for that, 6 to 8 p.m. Also, we need help. We need somebody once a month to help prep for Thursday night Bible study dinner. So if you can do that, if you can serve, if you can make dinner one time, we need to be happy to provide the finances for it. If you can help get it together, you know, there's usually 20 to 40 people that come on Thursdays. And so if you can do that just one time a month, it would be a monstrous help. Shirley and Michael were doing an amazing job doing that with Tom and Gloria. However, being that Shirley has been laid up, Tom and Gloria have been kind of taken over, and someone else helped from actually another church came, and they love the Bible study, and they're coming with their family now, and they actually provided dinner last Thursday. But if someone could take that over just once a month, we'd really appreciate it. So pray about it and ask God if that's for you. What else? School. Also, just to encourage you, we've got the Child Evangelism Fellowship Missionary Training. A bunch of us here, there's about 20 of us here that were here early. At about 9 o'clock, we're praying off a bunch of youth and teens, of all the teens going from this area for the missionary training camp. They're going to be gone for like a week in like dorm rooms. So anyway, so it was kind of like a good, it helps mom and dad to kind of let go, helps them to grow a little bit on their own a bit. So I'm good with that.
Kitchen
pass. You just call every night. So anyway, whatever. So anyway, but I just want to encourage you, out of the six that are going, Rapper Joe, other than out of the six teens that are going for this missionary training, this week-long training, five of the six are from this church. Other teens are from this church. So that's just really cool that they're going up for that missionary training. And the kid, Rapper Joe, I don't know very well, but he's going up with them. So anyway, pray for them if you think of it this week. And is there anything else that I've forgotten? Okay, let's get into the Word, shall we? Does anybody need a Bible? If you do, these, can you grab a couple Bibles? For Joel, raise your hand, and Joel and Lisa will bring you a Bible. We are in the book of Romans. Speaking of Bibles. It should be like a brown Bible with all my notes in it.
If you need one, we can get
everything I've ever written in my life.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, thank you, my dog. Okay. I was like, okay, Laura, you really want to stretch me more? Do it. Okay, so you know we've just gone through Romans 14, talking about the weaker, stronger brother. We talked about the end, the last part of Romans 14, about stumbling blocks. Are you a stumbling block for others in your Christian walk and how you live and what you say? Or are you a stepping stone for others? And now we're in Romans 15, where in Romans 15 is talking about hope. The gospel of hope given to you by the God of hope. And you know what? The Lord spoke something to me in worship time. Should I wait on that for a minute? Yeah, I'm going to wait on that for a minute. But as I'm turning to Romans, would somebody mind reading Romans chapter 15 from verse 1 until I say stop? Because I'm not there, because I don't know exactly where we left off. But if somebody would mind, who wants to read? I will bring you the microphone and you can read for a minute. Heather, perfect. Thank you so much. Heather gets an A+ for the day. Raising 2, just because he's right there with you. All right, so Romans chapter 15, starting verse 1.
Okay. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves.
And what does that mean, guys? Does that mean we like put up with people? Or what does that mean? We what?
Carry
them. That's right. That's what that means. Okay, keep going. All right.
Each of us should please our neighbors for their good to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement that they provide, we might have hope.
Oh, if you missed last week, I'm just saying, would you please, please, please listen to that audio. Go online, listen to it, download it. I mean, just the facts, the external evidence, the archaeological evidence, the internal evidence of the Bible compared to any other document. There's a ton of stuff in there. Everything that was written is God-breathed, and we can trust his word. Sorry, keep going.
May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again, it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yes. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. And that's the believing, that's the receiving, believing and conceiving as you trust in him. I would circle that, because he is the God of hope. But it's as you trust in him. Sorry, kids. Let me get through there. Man, there's a lot of slides. That's good stuff. We are particular. All right. So one thing that I know that the Lord was putting on my heart, too, as we left off in that verse, is that hope, that may the God of hope fill you with all as you trust in him. So first off, you know, if we didn't go through these trials or these sufferings, we would never learn by experience. We can read he's the God of hope, right? Right? The impossible situation, right? But you're never going to know that personally. You're never going to, we can read something. Have you ever had somebody counsel you from the word, which is super great that you do that, but they haven't kind of been through it? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they can tell you, well, just, you know, God works all things to the good for those who love him and are called according to your purpose. There you go. Take two of those and call me in the morning. But when you have gone through a time of hurt, or God has provided, or depression, or helplessness, or whatever, and God has come through for you because you trusted him, well, then you got faith, and you've got experience, and you can pour that out into other people in a way that most people can't do it. So as you trust him, and you know what? It occurs to me, God gave me a scripture in Peter, as we were, can you grab that stand and put that right here for me? Josh, I'm sorry, thanks. There's a verse in Peter that I just want to read to you, that the Lord gave to me. And I'll see if I can find it. It's in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse roughly 15, I'll say. And it says, in your parts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give the answer for the hope you have. That's what he wants us to do, to always be ready to give an answer to the hope that we have. And that word hope, again, is elpis, and that means confident expectation. That means assurance in the Bible. So when it says hope, the reason for the hope, you can tell them with confidence, with assurance about the Lord. You see, I can tell you that my God provides because I've been there. I can tell you that my God comes through when I can't do anything. Every week, I've come to the point where I literally say, God, I cannot come up with a teaching every Sunday. For a while, I just can't do it. And then, okay, well, sometimes twice, sometimes three times a week. Lord, I just can't do it. I know I can't. And God says, yeah, but I'm going to do it anyway. Every week. It's like a surprise shot to me. So then, after all this time, if somebody says, what, I really can't teach? Yes, you can. I can't do this. I can't trust the Lord here. Yes, you can. I know you can't, but do it anyway. I remember I asked Josh, I almost chickened out. This is just an embarrassing story. I almost chickened out yesterday. I called Josh, and we were talking about some stuff. He was rebuking me. And I said, he's like, yeah, well, I'm supposed to teach here soon, right? And I was like, tomorrow. He's like, what? He said, you know what? I don't have much time, but I'll do it. And I was like, oh, faith, you're going to throw faith at me? He's like, yeah, but I'll do it. Well, I'm not going to throw him under the bus, Lord. I know that you're going to do it. Okay, you can teach next month. I'd love you to do it. I love when you teach. I'm just going to trust in you, yes. And God comes through and comes through and comes through and comes through. And as you trust in him, that hope builds. Every time you put those words, receive them, then you believe them, and then you conceive. You step out of faith. You give birth by your faith in your walk and how you walk things out. That's our God. Here's what the enemy comes to do. It says in John 10:10 that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he's come to do. And he's come to rob you of your hope, right? Listen, if you're saved, here's the one thing you did not have. You had no hope. You had nothing. You know that you're a sinner. You know you're desperate. You know you're drowning. You know you can't get out of it yourself. That's why you grabbed onto Jesus, right? See, the enemy wants to rob you and steal that hope away from you. Well, no one can save my husband. No one can save my wife. Yes, he can. Well, you don't know my friend. You don't know my brother. You don't know my sister. You don't know my boss. Nobody can. God will never. I can't get a job. No one. Whatever it is that is plaguing you, whatever it is that is causing you despair, it's because the enemy is trying to rob that hope. What he's saying is, don't believe what God says. I just can't conquer this fear. I can't conquer it. Oh, I can't conquer my bad attitude. Oh, I can't conquer whatever it is. That's a lie from the pit of hell. He's trying to rob you of that hope. You don't listen to that. You believe it. You receive it. And then you step out of faith and trust him. That's our God. You can trust him. Now, does that mean everything's going to be right all the time? Absolutely not. In fact, that's how we develop that faith, is we have to go through these things. But he's trying to rob you, steal your hope away from you. That assurance, that confidence, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to kill it in you and destroy you so that you have no testimony. How are you going to give a testimony if he will kill that hope in you? That's what he's trying to do. Gary, I think, said this the other day. With all the spiritual warfare that's going on and folks, and it's just overwhelming. You know, Gary said, I think it was Gary, who's in the Gary, Josh Carlson, but anyway, like one of those guys. Anyway, Tom, maybe, I don't know. It says, the enemy always fights the hardest when he knows God has something great in store for you. Isn't that true? You think, my God, why is the enemy attacking the snot out of me or my friend or you name it? Why? I don't get it. Because God has something great in store, so the enemy wants to rob, steal, and kill you before you ever have that witness. That's a true statement. Listen, Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21. What's it, Lamentations? The word. Okay. Lamentations 3, 21 to 24. says this: if you're going through that desperate time, wherever it is, spouse, friend, job, finances, drug addiction, you name it, relational problems, depression, you name it. He says this: yet I still dare to hope. When I remember this, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. And I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. So if you're going through that, you still dare to hope in him. You hold on to him, regardless of what you feel, regardless of your situation, regardless of what you think. And you're all going through it. You know how many people in here right now are thinking, I must be like Job. And we're laughing because we've all kind of felt that way sometimes. But yet, I still dare to hope in him. I'm going to trust him. You know what I did break down? Where I put it? It is from the Bible. Thank you so much. Yes. I can't give you the scripture address. I need to think about it for a minute. I think I read this in my devotional yesterday or the day before. Maybe Psalm 33? We'll see. Anyway. Verse, let's say 16 to 22, it says, we're always trying to find worldly ways of handling things, but no king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior. 33. It is Psalm 33. Thank you. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. We put our faith in these worldly things, but it says, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. And so we're going to wait in hope. I don't know how long this situation is going to take. Maybe it's going to take a day. Maybe it's going to take a week. Maybe it's going to take a month. Maybe it's going to take a year. Maybe it's going to take 10 years. I don't know, but maybe it'll take a lifetime. I don't know. But it says we wait and hope for the Lord because he is our help. He is our shield. In him our hearts rejoice. For we what? Say it. Come on now. For in him, for we what?
Trust.
Say it again louder.
Trust.
Come on, say it louder.
Trust.
That's what we have to do. Trust him in those times, right? In his holy name, may your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Don't let the enemy rob you of that hope. You put your trust in him. Don't doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light. And that's why he's always trying to take that word, keep you out of the word, right? Psalm 119, 114 says this, folks. It says, you are my hope. It's not right, it's not just words on a page. This is all a letter written to us from him. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word, that it would nourish me and strengthen me, just like you say. Verse 14 says this: I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. What does that mean real quickly? That says, I myself am convinced, my brothers. He's writing this to mature believers, that you are full of goodness. Well, let me ask you a quick question then. Okay, if we're full of goodness, are there good and bad people? I'm just asking you. Are there? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Are there good people? Are there bad people? It says you need to be filled with goodness, so are there good people?
Yeah.
What? Okay, so you're saying we're all sinners, but some people do good thinking, good things, thinking that's all they need to do. Is that right or wrong? see, the world's going to say that we can be, you know, somebody wrote a book, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Okay? Well, here's kind of, and if you're looking at the world's way, that's what it looks like, right? But here's what the Bible says. This is Ecclesiastes 7:20. It says, there is no one on earth who is righteousness. There is no one who does what is right and never sins. Romans 3, you know, 20, 21, 3, 10, and 11. There's no one good. There's no one righteous. There's no good people, according to the Bible. Then how are we going to have goodness? Jesus told the guy who came in and said, yeah, I know you're from God. And he says, you know, I got good teacher to Jesus. He said, hey, there's no one good but God. So I don't understand that. Why does he say why does he say, I'm convinced, my brother, that you're full of goodness? If none of us are good apart from God, how, Kelly? What's say it nice and loud?
It's only through having Jesus in our life. There's no good in ourselves.
Yeah. Is that right? You're saying yeah? You're right. Josh?
I was just going to say with that full, you know, you're full of goodness, something had to fill you with that goodness. So that's where the Lord comes into play.
Yes.
His goodness into you.
That's right. Listen, here's the bottom line. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're separated from him. There's really nothing good in you. Right? You're a selfish, self-centered person apart from Jesus Christ. When somebody, if we were to take a picture, go outside and take a picture of this church, here's what you would be looking at. We said, look at this picture. We all wouldn't be, by our human nature, Nate wouldn't be saying, oh, I wonder if Mike looks great in this picture. You know? Oh, I hope Rebecca's hair looks wonderful in this picture. No, you'd be saying, I hope I look pretty good there. Look at my hair. Look at me in that picture. I'm not smiling. Everybody's smiling but me. We're self-focused creatures. We need the goodness of the Lord. Any goodness we have is a spiritual gift from God. Listen to this. Galatians says the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. It's God who gives that goodness. He manifests that goodness in our lives like fruit on an orange tree. That goodness comes from God. So if you don't know Jesus Christ right now, you're never going to do anything good in the kingdom's eyes apart from asking the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life. Tell him to take over and take your life and produce something good from it. And if you will do that and you will humble yourself and say, I need him, he will do something. He'll produce something good in you. Even you, Sarah. Even me. There's a Psalm 23 that starts off with, the Lord is my shepherd. And that's one thing each of us have to ask. Is he your shepherd? Have you made it personal? Can you say he's my Lord? He's my best friend? Can you say that? You need to. Because when you do that, then goodness will be produced in your life. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And then, as the last Psalm 23:6 says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord. That goodness will go behind you, just like a wake in a boat. If you're filled with the goodness of God, that's going to go. It will be living water splashing over onto other people. It goes on to say, in 14, it says that you're full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and it says, in my Bible, it says, competent to instruct.
Able to admonish oneself.
And the Greek word for that, competent to instruct, is nutheteo. And it means to, competent to instruct, it just means like to warn somebody, to counsel somebody, to instruct somebody, to advise somebody. You're competent to instruct because you have the word in you. It's washing over you. It's nourishing you. It's making that fruit come out. Psalm 119 says this, and this is why you'll be competent to instruct or counsel or warn one another. That's what we're to do. It says this, your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they're my constant guide. I love that. Is the Word of God your constant guide in what you do? I have more insight than all my teachers. And why? Why do I have more insight? Because I meditate on your statutes. I'm thinking about it during the day. in this situation? How do I glorify your name? Verse 100 says, I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey them. It's not just head knowledge, it's obedience. And so I'm competent to counsel people, to warn people. And listen, I had somebody say to me not too long ago, they would yell at me for something, I get that a lot. And because I was warning them of something. And they said, well, I don't like that you're interfering in my life. Telling me, well, listen, if you don't want somebody interfering in your life, don't become a Christian. Don't become a Christian. Because here we are. We are one body, the body of Christ. We have different gifts. We have different functions. But we are one body. We're not like a family. We are a family. Sometimes families get on their nerves, each other's nerves. Am I right? Okay, sometimes that happens. But sometimes we're encouraged by our families, right? Sometimes we're warned by our families, right? That's what a family does. And we're going to do that. And the more we get into the Word, the more insight we're going to be competent to instruct one another. And then he says in verse 15 in Romans, I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again because of the grace God has given to me. Like, why do we need to be reminded? Why is Paul saying, hey, I'm reminding you of this, I'm reminding you of it again? Why do we need to be reminded so many times? Why does Paul say that?
Forget.
We what?
Forget.
Is that true?
Oh, boy. Yep.
We have tremendous forgetteries, don't we?
We don't listen.
Oh, we don't listen. Is that true, too?
Sometimes.
We don't forget. We don't listen. Sometimes, Vic, were you pointing at you? I'm just saying. Okay, so we're Vic. Sometimes I can be Vic. Sometimes I don't listen, right? Sometimes I just forget. In the middle of the situation, I need to be reminded. You know what I mean, Johnny? Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't want to hear it either.
Yeah.
That is true. But a person who really loves you is going to tell you the truth, whether you listen or fail to listen. The verse that Amster said is familiar to me, but it also says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend tells you what you need to hear. And hopefully they'll do it, or she'll do it in a loving way, but they tell you what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear. Everybody's all like, amen, hallelujah, praise God, until somebody, okay, hey, I just want to, you know, you might want to handle this a different way. Don't judge me! How dare you! What? You've been sitting here 6 months shaking your head. This is the same thing we've been talking about. Listen, Peter was reminding people too all the time, because we do. You know, why do we go over the Word again and again? Because we need it. He says, Peter says, therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth. Why do we got to keep coming to Bible study again and again? What's the big deal? Every Sunday, and I'm really spiritual, I go to another Bible study, and then a Thursday barbecue Bible. Oh, listen. Listen, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth, you have been taught. And it is only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. You want to come to this Bible study? I'm not a fancy guy. You're just going to get the Word. You're going to get it again and again and again. So are the other people that come over. They're just going to give you the Word. You come to youth group. Josh just going to give you the Word. You come Thursday night, Tom, he's going to give you the Word. Gary, he's going to give you the Word. So this is what you're going to get. I'm going to remind you as long as I live. For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life, so I'll work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I'm gone. You might not always go to this church. You might move. I had a family who's moving to another state from our school. And one of their kids wrote me one of the most amazing things any kid has ever written to me. Just said, you know, thanks for being a dad to me. Mm-hmm. And it was absolutely sincere. you know, or dad and the Lord to me, or something like that. And I was like, so wonderful. You know, you don't know when people are going to go. And here's why also we remind again and again, and this is why Paul's reminding us, because Satan's always trying to steal what's been sown. The word's going forth like seeds, right? From the sower, right? Some are falling on rocky ground. Some, and it says here in Matthew 13:19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. What's been sown in his heart. So here's the deal. The world, the enemy's using the world to always try to take the good word being put in you and try to steal it from you. Every time God's trying to put good stuff in your heart, enemy's trying to steal it. He's trying to rob you. Right now, enemy's trying to put stuff, God's trying to put stuff in, enemy's stealing it away, trying to steal it away. That's what he does, man. He's a thief. He's a killer. He's a destroyer. So we got to keep reminding ourselves of these things. Paul goes on to say in verse 16, it says, I'm a minister of Christ. And that word minister is a weird word that he uses. It's liturgos, and it means like literally where we get our word liturgy from, and it's like a priestly duty. So Paul's like, he sees himself like almost like a priest, like working in the temple. He says, I'm a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles with this priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified. That means to be made holy by the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to say, therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I've said and done. So, to Paul, man, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. Everything he did, when he went out the door in the morning, you know, when he went out the door, he's like, how am I going to glorify you, God? If I go have a bite to eat, I'm going to glorify you at the restaurant with the waitress. If I'm driving in the car, may glorify you in that university I-75 traffic. You know what I mean? Wherever, if I go to school, if I go to work, let me glorify you in how I run my business and how I speak and how I do things. Everything he did, is that was his job. It says it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now he's talking about you and me. It says, so we, Selena, that's you. That's me. He says, we are Christ's ambassadors. And God is making his appeal through us. So he's saying, for we speak for Christ when we plead be reconciled to God. So here's the deal. God is saying, you're my ambassador. I want you to go out into the world every morning. When you get up, you walk out that door, or even when you get out of bed and you get to your family, right? Sometimes we struggle there. You're Christ's ambassador to your wife, to your kids, your parents, your friends, your classmates. You are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through you. He's chosen you. Listen, if you don't know what an ambassador is, I got this off of dictionary.com, nothing fancy, but here's what it says. Here's what an ambassador is. An official of the highest rank. Christ is saying, you are his official of the highest rank. That's, he's chosen you, Daryl. It says that sent by one sovereign. Is our God sovereign? Yes, he is. Is he the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? He has sent you. The sovereign God has chosen you as the highest rank and sent out and as his resident representative. That's it. You're an authorized messenger of the highest rank. God has chosen you. So I want you to think about that scripture verse again. We are Christ's ambassadors. Wherever you go, whatever you say, he chose you for this job. You might think you're a big flop failure, but he's saying, oh, I see you as so much more, Sonia. I see you as so much more, Jen. I believe in you. He's chosen you. And that's what he wants you to be and do in your life. It's not the job, the jewelry job, or the real estate job, whatever job, the metal fab job. It's the Jesus job. That's your main mission at your school, whatever school you go to. And it goes on in that same verse. It says this. It says that he's chosen me. He's an ambassador, basically. Verse 18, it says, to obey God by what I have said and done. I'm teaching the Gentiles to obey God. And is obedience that important as a Christian?
Oh, yeah.
Why is it so important? Why does this church make such a big deal about it? What's the big deal if you obey God? Honestly, does it really matter?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You said yes.
I did.
Why?
Well, because it protects you. It honors him. Mm-hmm. If you're in obedience, you're in safety. I don't know. It's to help us, and it's to represent him. So.
And what else did you say? Set an example for others. Yes. What else? Here, bring that mic back there. Yes, set an example is absolutely right. What else? What's the big deal? Why can't we just put him in one of these fun churches that gives you a rah-rah teaching? I slap some hands, we kick some, and when you just why do we have to worry about obeying?
I think that, for one thing, there's a lot of people around us in different stages of growth as Christians and non-Christians. Mm-hmm. And our life is going to either point them to Christ and what God expects of us and does for us, or it's going to cause a lot of confusion in their life by the way we live. And I think that we know the word says that the enemy is the author of confusion. So he'll take that confusion that it causes and he'll cause people to stumble and fall and not know the right way. So we have an example. Our lives are to be an example before others.
Now that doesn't mean we'll always get it right, right?
No.
But that should be our goal, right? Go ahead. Yes, Jen. Would you run that microphone back, so Sophie? You're doing a fantastic job. Thank you. Yes.
Sometimes we're the only piece of Jesus that people get to see.
Right.
So if we're dishonest, then they think Jesus and God are dishonest.
Absolutely.
Because we represent them.
That's right. We're his ambassador. How many?
Oh, that's a good.
Yes, good. Heidi up here, right? Quick like a bunny. Good. Go ahead. I know.
Well, I was just going to say the same thing that you have, what you just said, we represent. As his ambassador, we represent him. And so we have to, anybody who, whenever you represent, then you have to be exactly.
You know what? Everybody turn with me. You guys know John 14:21 and 14:23. Jesus said, he who has my commands and obeys them. Don't go to there. I'm going to have you go to James. But this is just coming to mind. In John 14:21, he says, he who has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. So if you obey him, not if you just learn about him, if you obey him, he's going to show himself to you. That proves that you love him. James chapter 1. Give me a second. You get there and be self, kids. I got the first part, I think, up here. James chapter 1. It starts off with this, and if somebody has a microphone by them, I'm going to have you read it. So, where's the mic? Who can read this? Okay. Who will read this verse for me in James? I'm going to have you read James chapter 1, 22 to 25. Who will read that? Okay.
But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves.
No! Just really quickly. Right there! Mm-hmm. Listen, if you're here listening to God's word today, woohoo! I'm glad you're here. Most people, maybe they're home, they're watching TV, they're sleeping in. You are here listening. Thank God for that. But it can't just stop there. Right? Don't just listen to God's word. Do what it says. Otherwise, you're deceiving yourself. You're kidding yourself. You're fooling yourself. Doi. What else does it say? Go ahead.
Or if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully at the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it.
Okay, think of it this way, guys. Here, focus with me. Listen. You have to obey. You have to believe it, and you have to believe it, receive it, and then conceive. Yes, to give birth to faith and actions. Okay. So here's the thing. Don't just listen to what we're doing. Let's just say, congratulations. Okay, you own a business. Isn't that fantastic? You now own a big, thriving company. I just want to congratulate you for being the president of the company. Good job. Okay, so here's your company, right? It's expanding. You're going to expand this company, okay? So you're putting somebody in charge of your company, right? They're going to be representing, you're hiring them for management, right? And so you go to them and you say, hey, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set you up with an office, the warehouse, receptionist, sales staff, management, everything, computers, the warehouse will be full of product, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go on a trip. I'll be gone for a little while, and I'm going to set up other places, other branches somewhere else, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to take care of everything, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you an email. I'm going to write you a letter in email form, and I'm going to send you something every day. Every week, I'm going to send you a letter. I'm going to tell you exactly what I want you to do. I'm going to tell you how to run things, how to operate, the conduct the business, how to interact, how the receptionist should answer the phone, how the salesman should greet the people, how the shipping should go. I'll spell it all out for you. All you have to do is do what I say. And so, great, okay, they say fantastic. You go away, you come back in a year, and this building you've purchased, you've invested your money in, all of a sudden, you notice that the grass is like, hasn't been mowed in like at least 6 months. You know what I'm saying? The shrubbery is all, the grass is like yay high. A couple of the windows are broken out. You're thinking, what in the world is going on here? So you open the door, and the receptionist is there, you know, this little thing with their feet up on the desk, chomping on some gum. And she's watching a DVD. The phone's ringing. She's not answering it. She's just chomping her gum, watching the TV because she doesn't want to miss the DVD show. And you say, aren't you going to get that? No, I'm in the middle of the show. Well, I'm here to see the manager. Oh, yeah, well, whatever. Doesn't even bother greeting you. Doesn't even look at you. Down the hall. So you go down the hall, and you go down to the sales office, thinking he's there. And you look in there, and you know what? The sales office has been, you know, kind of converted into this little TV. They put a TV up there where the whiteboard should be, and they're watching soap operas. And they're eating chips, and they're just hanging out. What? What are you? I'm the owner. I'm looking for the manager. And they seem unconcerned. Oh, down the hall. You look in the warehouse. All the product's still there. None of it's moved. You go down to see the manager, and you say to him, as you walk in, and him and his other sales manager, and they're playing Xbox, eating some Subway. And you say, what in the world is going on here? He's like, what do you mean? He's like, did you not receive my letters that I sent you? Letters? Absolutely, we received your letters. We've received your letters. In fact, we put all those letters in a book. Here, let me grab it for you. And he grabs up the little binder. He said, we put them all together. Every single letter you wrote, they're all in here. And we put them together in a binder. We even put chapters and verses. We can find stuff. It's fantastic. There's some really good stuff in this letter. Well, so you've read the letter. Oh, yeah, we've read every single letter. In fact, not only that, but we've gathered some of the employees together, and we have letter studies. We alternate on Tuesdays. The men in the company get together for a letter study night on Tuesday nights, and then the women, we alternate. Wednesday, we have the young people get together for letter study. And then Thursday, we have barbecue and letter study. And everybody gets together with a big barbecue. It's a great time. And then we go and we study letters. Some have even memorized some of the lines in the letters. And some have even memorized whole letters themselves. And you say, so wait a minute, you've actually received the letters? And you've read the letters? And you have letter studies? And you've even memorized the letters? Absolutely. But what did you do with them? What did you do about them? Do? We didn't do nothing. What would you do to that manager? What would happen? Be honest with me.
Fired.
What? He would be fired immediately, folks. Listen, when we look into that, the mirror of God's Word, and that's what it is, it reflects to us what we need to not just think about or study about or memorize about, is what we need to do and change in our lives. That's what it's about. Right? Well, I'll give you that in just a second. Listen, bear with me here, guys. There was a missionary, I think it was Africa, this was last century, and he was in the bush, and he actually had a mirror. And he hung this mirror up on a tree, okay? And so he was shaving, the way they did back then, you know, all on the tree or not, but shaving. And the local witch doctor came by and saw the mirror and went up to the mirror and was looking at it and checking it out, you know, looking all over, and was fascinated by it. And so that witch doctor, very influential in this community, it's a missionary, wanted to buy the mirror and started haggling and negotiating. The missionary's like, I'm not going to sell it. I don't want to sell the mirror. No, the mirror's mine. No, it's not for sale. Finally, this witch doctor would not be persuaded. Wanted to buy that mirror, and he knew things were getting hostile. And so what he did, the missionary said, okay, well, I'm just going to give him the mirror in Jesus' name. Okay, I'm going to give him that mirror. So you know what he did? He took the mirror down off the tree, and he gave it to the witch doctor. The witch doctor was a lady. They don't get married. I'm sorry. It's a lady. She's a witch doctor. And so she looked at it, and immediately she looked at the mirror, started making this angry, horrific, disgusted face, and then threw the mirror down, shattered it, and started stomping all over it. And the missionary said, What are you doing? And she said to the missionary, I never want to see that ugly, hideous thing making faces at me again. Now, what was the ugly, hideous thing that was making faces at her in the mirror? What Mary Kate just read, when you look at that change of verse right there, it says this: don't merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man or a woman who looks at his face in the mirror afterwards, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. We see ourselves in God's word. We don't do anything. If God's speaking to us about it, you don't do anything about it. You're like that witch doctor throwing that mirror. I don't want to look at it anymore. And this is, I just want to leave you with this. This is the last little thing for you guys. Bear with me, because this is just, it's important. We need to use it or lose it. When we have been given instruction by God, okay, obeying the word is so important. Jesus gave a little parable, and he said, it's like someone who built a house, and one built it on the rock, and that stood, because that person obeyed the word, and heard it, and obeyed it, and another person built it on sand, because they just heard the word and didn't obey it. And when the storms came, right, the hopelessness came in, it fell, it crashed. So will you, my friend, if you don't learn to trust and obey. Listen, so will I. Matthew 13, 11 through 13, this is Jesus. When he was talking about the Pharisees who had all the law, right? But they didn't really obey it in their hearts. He was talking to his disciples, and he was like, why do you speak in parables around the Pharisees? And he replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you guys, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak in parables. When we've been given instruction by the mirror of God's word, and don't act upon it, it's like we're throwing it away in the trash to our own peril. In the parable of the tenants, of the you guys remember that story? There was one, he gave talents, bags of silver to all his people that were working for him. And some of them, you know, the one that made five, he was given five talents of silver or gold, went and got five more. The one who did two got two talents, made two more. And there was one guy who thought the master was lazy and shrewd, and so he didn't do anything with it. He was just lazy. He buried it. And then Jesus came and said, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. And then he said, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Matthew 25:28-29. Truth acted on brings more truth. Failure to respond to truth ultimately will result in loss of truth. So listen. Let me bring this reality of God's word. If God is saying something to you in his word, he's saying, trust me. He's saying, trust me in this situation. Regardless if you feel hopeless. He says, trust me in this situation. Regardless if you feel like it. He's saying, trust me. Whatever he's speaking to you in his word, whatever your ears are hearing, whatever he's speaking to you, act upon it, obey it, and you will be given more. You will be given faith, you'll be given encouragement, you'll be given strength for the day. But if you keep rejecting it, then you're only fooling yourself. And I don't want that here for anybody. I want each one of you to have all that God has in abundance. And even if that means you go through difficult times, then so be it. You go through difficult times. But allow God, trust him, to prove himself during that time. Because at the end, you're going to be able, with the comfort you receive from God, to minister to many other people in his name. You are his ambassadors. Everywhere you go, everywhere you see, everyone you talk to. Amen? Sue, can I ask you a favor? Sophie, bring the mic to her. Sue, would you mind closing us out in prayer?
Lord God, we thank you for your spirit, for your presence, Lord God. Help us this week and as we go about our days to be conscious of your presence, to take to heart what we read each day in your word, Lord, and to see the significance of loving you back, Lord. Your word, you say that if we love you, we will obey your commands, Lord. It's not that that's what we have to do to love you. It's your love language, Lord. And for us to show you love, Lord, we need to be working at doing what you ask, Lord. So help us to see this, Lord, as a love offering to you, a gift to you, a way to bring intimacy into our relationship with you, Lord. Guide us and lead us, Lord, so that we may see more clearly. In Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.